If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, we have a really fun show for you. The topic is training and directing your basic self. So, we've been doing a lot of shows about God realization, self-realization, integrating the higher principles into your physical vehicle, and manifesting your divine nature. But if you don't have the cooperation and the support of your basic physical elemental, called the basic self, you don't have any cooperative platform from which to launch your divine expression. So tonight we're going to look very specifically at the physical bodily elemental. It's not you. It is an elemental devic being that gives you the life support, that funds the energy that you have as your physical life survival basic mechanism. The basic self has several terms that define it. I'm going to share several of them so maybe you get an idea before I launch into our actually meeting your basic. So some of the terms used to describe the basic self would be, and the term basic self comes from the Hawaiian Huna tradition, which is also described as your physical body elemental or body elf. The Christian tradition would call this your carnal or flesh nature or the natural man or the psuche man, which is the Greek. The New Age would call it your lower self, your inner child, or the false self. However, that has a slightly negative connotation. And your basic self is not in any way, shape, or form negative. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's not your ego. It's none of those things. It is a very innocent consciousness, like a child. A child of between, let's say, 4 to 6 years of age. And basic selves vary in terms of their maturity. Some basic selves are very innocent. They've just come in from the other kingdoms of nature. They have never perhaps coordinated in a physical body, or maybe they come from another planet and they've never been in an earth human body. So sometimes they're very inexperienced, very innocent. But they're not in any way, shape, or form evil any more than a 4 or 5 or 6 year old child would be evil. Just they require direction and training. And that's your job. It's the conscious human being that makes the decisions. So tonight we're going to see how to cooperate, coordinate with this part of yourself. Also in the some of the other traditions I want to pick up here too. In the theosophical tradition, the physical, the basic self is called a physical elemental. And they don't tend to personalize it. They treat it very impersonally. So for me, since I come from a background that was largely theosophical, it took me a while to really understand that this is a little being that actually can get its feelings hurt, it can get petulant, it can be hurt and depressed, and it can have moods. You know, it took me a while to realize I really had to treat this part of myself with love and appreciation and consideration and tenderness. So anyway, and in the shamanic tradition, this part of yourself is called the tonal, I think all of you will tuck in there somewhere. Now, have you ever sensed an inner conflict, like you had a war going on inside yourself, or a sense of stubbornness and resistance? And even though consciously you had no reason to feel that, intellectually, you didn't have anything to tag to that, and from a high self level, you didn't even want to consider that that was there. So you may have gone into denial. Oh, no, I'm not stubborn. I'm not angry. I'm not whatever. And yet there's this raging thing inside you. Sometimes it's a sense of irritation, or sometimes it's that thing that you blurt out or act out in ways that may surprise you or shock you or even embarrass you. So that, beloveds, was your basic self. It's that part of you that just, you know, when you least expect it, it kind of does its thing. And so we're going to go up into this beautiful, beautiful area called the repository of basic selves, and you're going to get a chance to meet your basic self. Now, you have at least one, and sometimes two basic selves. They can be male and female, or both males or both females. And it really doesn't matter. And they don't always agree with each other. Sometimes they're like two siblings that have very different natures, and they fight a lot. So those of you with more than one basic self can have your work cut out for you. I'm not going to speak about that too much because I only have one basic, so I don't actually know what you folks go through that have two basic selves, although I do have a friend that I'm very close to that has a male and a female, and they don't get along. And so she tends to be extremely moody and predictable in terms of how she responds to things. So if you have that element going with you, that may be because you have more than one basic, and maybe they don't get along real well. Anyway, let's take a deep breath. And first of all, we call forward your guardian angels, those that supervise and take care of your basic selves and guide them to you when it's time for you to incarnate. We also ask for the presence of Jesus and the Blessed Mother Mary to be present with us, so that we have a very comfortable and safe environment that is familiar and loving to your basic selves. We ask that if it is for the highest good of those who are listening tonight, that they have the opportunity to actually see and officially meet their basic self or basic selves. We ask this in the highest love, keeping in mind your free will and contracted destiny as souls. And so, again, let's take a deep breath and feel yourself flowing from your heart space as you close your eyes. Just allow yourself to flow into the most beautiful visual garden of delight that you can imagine. You could use something similar to the background of the movie Avatar, if you've recently seen it. Or whatever conjures up for you the most delightful, beautiful bower with lots of vines that children can swing on, kind of like Never Never Land. I think we've all seen Peter Pan or Hook. So create a Peter Pan kind of like environment with beautiful flowers and mermaids waterfalls and gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous green, beautiful, fun playland. And as you look, you see that it's filled with laughter, joyous, childlike peals of laughter. And as you look more carefully, you see little faces. Oh, they're so cute. Little faces of precious little children, little elves and pixies and little fairy-like beings, and they're peeking out from behind the trees. Some of them are hiding in those big hollows in the tree trunk and peering out from those. Some of them have made little tree houses and are hiding in the tree houses looking down. And many of your basic selves have delighted themselves in this opportunity to be able to meet their conscious selves. That would be you. That would be you. So they're as excited to meet you as probably you are to meet them. So we are going to have you stand in a circle, leaving one end open. So take the hands of your brothers and sisters from the Ashtar Command, your fellow light workers, and leave one end of the circle open. And we're going to ask if the guardian angels, make a big circle, if the guardian angels would gather the basic selves and bring them into the center of our circle. Yeah, back up, keep enlarging the circle, because there's a lot of people listening to the show and a lot of basic selves that want to connect with their conscious selves. Back up, back up, back up, back up, more and more and more. Here they come. Gosh, a whole bunch of them giggling and laughing and playing. And they've got their little crowns on and little flowers and some of their hair, and some of them have little pixie caps. You know, they love to doll up and put on costumes. That's one of their favorite things to do. You know, like you did when you were about five, you put on your dad's clothes or your mother's high heels or whatever, you know, we all did that as children. That's the basic self. It loves to play. It's a child, full of delight and fun and laughter, sweet innocence. Okay. Now, open your spiritual eyes, which means you look out to the center of your forehead, and place in your vision, view, put in your inner viewfinder, that little precious basic, one or two, that is now standing in front of you. And you can let go of the hands of your brothers and sisters in the circle and reach out your arms and allow that little basic self to come into your arms if they want to. And you might get down on one knee so they can come and be on your level. And give them a big hug and a kiss on their little cheeks. And now just kind of sit cross-legged across from your basic self and hold their hands and look into their little sweet faces and get a sense of their personality. Get a sense of their nature. You know, a mother, when she's pregnant, can sense the nature of her child. And your basic self normally lives in the area of your solar plexus. So you know your basic self. You have a sense of that inner child that you have been and that you are. When you get out of your head and your intellectual self, you're very in attunement with that little inner child. Sweet and guileless and innocent. And so look into each other's eyes. In fact, if you want to look into the eyes of your basic self later on, all you need to do is look at your eyes in the mirror. And you'll notice that usually it's your left eye, but it could be either eye. If you ask to see your basic self, that eye will seem to be somehow more predominant. It'll draw your attention. Usually it's the left eye. And just look into that eye, or look into both eyes, or one and then the other. And just tell that basic self how much you love him or her. Just say, I love you. And I appreciate you so much. I thank you for taking such good care of my physical body and keeping me alive and giving me the health and the energy and the support that I need to do my mission. And I want to apologize if I haven't kept my word or if I've done anything that hurt your little feelings. I would never do that consciously. I love you so much, and I'm so happy to meet you. And just give that precious little basic self another kiss and another hug. And they're going to move now into the place that they usually occupy, which is your solar plexus area. And we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ make certain that only your own basic gets in there and only your own spiritual appropriateness come forward for you this evening as we do this work that is completely under the golden white light of the Christ and his precious mantle of loving grace, so that we're all safe, we're all protected, we're all loved, and we can all together grow in greater understanding of this wonderful multidimensional complex that constitutes our life expression. And so, just draw yourself into a place of real comfort. You can continue sitting there if you like, in the repository of basic self. And I'm going to share with you some information that I think you'll find quite interesting. So, just relax. Now, beloveds, the basic self that you could also call your inner child is like a lovely elemental being that, when it evolves to its fullest potential, will be quite angelic. In fact, the end result of the Davidic line of evolution is the archangel, which is the same as in the human evolution. It would be the Chohan, or the Lord, the highest degree of mastery that we would look to as we unfold in our own line of manifestation. So the basic self is not you, but it's a little life partner, a little life support partner that comes in to coordinate with your soul, you as a soul, you as a spirit, so that you have three levels that govern your physical life, your human life. You have the high self, which contains your soul's directives for that lifetime. You have the conscious self, which is you who make conscious decisions, that, you know, everyday human self. Then you have your basic self, which is your inner child. So the three of those levels coordinate to give you your personality and your particular unique expression for each lifetime. So your basic self is focused entirely with the physical areas of your life. That's its domain. It's concerned with your bodily functions, your health, energy levels, stamina. It involves the eating and digestion and elimination processes. It involves reproduction, sexual expression, unconscious and instinctive and subconscious momentums. It's not unconscious, but it is very instinctive. And it's not subconscious, although we're rarely consciously aware when we're in our basic self until we have learned to identify those patterns. So you can't say it's your subconscious, but it is in some way similar to that. It's involved with your life processes and your survival. It's involved with your safety and warning you about the boogeyman in the alley, or don't go down that dark street, or somebody may be hiding under the bed. Those are the kind of things that a basic self would be bringing to your attention. And like I said, it's a child around 4, 5, 6 years old. It's very interested in your viability. So it will do everything it possibly can to ensure your survival, because that's the job that God has given it to do. It governs your autoimmune system, which is why it's so important to feel good about yourself and to want to live and to be happy, because that's what boosts your autoimmune health. It's involved with your life force, your chi energy, your prana, and your habit patterns. Your basic self is very much involved with your sense of well-being, your self-esteem, self-respect, self-trust, self-appreciation, self-confidence. All of these come from a healthy working partnership with your basic self. Now, some people only ever express from their basic self, having never had a conscious contact with their high self or themselves as a soul or in any higher capacity. They're not connected yet. Their lights aren't turned on. They're still living very much from the instinctual level. And believe it or not, a majority of the masses of people on this planet fall into that category. Now, I'm speaking to light workers, the ground team of the Ashtar Command, the Indigo and Crystal and Rainbow Children. I'm speaking to the Christ Conscious Souls, those of you who are working to qualify for Christ Consciousness, those of you who are integrating your Christ Oversoul levels, and those of you that may be standing in line to initiate and move into actual Christship, that anointed sonship that we move into when we have completely merged with that highest divine level of consciousness that we can integrate at this particular time in this particular cycle that we're in. So the physical body is taken care of when you go to sleep, when you're in a coma, when you're unconscious by your basic self. In fact, if you've wondered what keeps the body going when a person is brain dead or a person has Alzheimer's and is basically not home anymore as a soul, but there's still life in the body, or people who are in a coma, the basic self is what's keeping that body alive. And that energy goes down to the top of your head, to the pineal gland, pituitary primarily, in a line of energy that anchors into the heart itself. That's called your life stream. And it's quite different than your consciousness stream, which is linked with the hypothalamus and the pineal gland and weds itself with that life force. And the consciousness strand is what we call the connection with you and the soul, you as a soul and your physical body. So the basic self is that part that keeps you alive. Now, it's also responsible for when you develop phobias or energy blockages or resistant patterns or those things that self-sabotage so that you can't quite have the success that you want in life. The self-destructive habits, the addictions to alcohol or sex or drugs or pornography or any addictive pattern, compulsive obsessive behaviors, traumas, anger, rebelliousness, those flare-ups, you know, that just seem unconscious, eating disorders. All of these things are rooted in patterns that the basic self has picked up in its interaction with its conscious self, or sometimes with the parents, because little children are very susceptible to the basic consciousness of the parents even before they're born. They listen from the womb, and they take on the consciousness of their parents and the things the parents go through. So many times these things that later become quite problematic in your human expression have their root in the basic self. So we're going to show you how to release those blocks and have greater success in working with your basic tonight. And there is a whole class that's given by MSIA called The Three Selves. And I think you can take it online and you can buy the book, The Three Selves. In fact, they have one on the basic self, which I suggest if you want to inquire into this a little more. Just go to msia.org and you can order tapes and DVDs and, you know, go online classes and study more about the basic selves and the three selves. So it's most important that we learn how to work with this level, as you can see now. Now, sometimes your basic self also is the one that feels, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you as a spirit, as a soul, you are, the minute you go to sleep, you leave your body and you go wherever you're needed to be of service, whether it's Haiti or someplace in the Middle East or someplace in America. You could be going anywhere, but your spirit will be led to work in groups with other light workers, sometimes aboard ship with the Ashtar Command, sometimes just in soul travel with one of the travelers or the school of the travelers, and you'll be involved in serving and ministering. You're always on assignment. There's never a time that you're not sending your spirit forth to serve if you're a light worker. That's just what we do. We also take classes on the inner planes. So bottom line is, sometimes you're not finished when your body wakes up in the morning. Who wakes up? Your basic self. Your little kid wakes up. So if you feel alone or depressed or sad or fearful and you can't account for why, or depressed or bummed out or just in a bad mood, don't take it personally. Just realize that your basic self is in the body, and like a little kid that wakes up and mommy and daddy aren't there, it's feeling abandoned. But this is why prayer, praying out loud, is so wonderful. And the imagery of the guardian angels, very, very wonderful for the basic self. Because when you pray out loud and you ask the angels to surround you before you go to sleep at night, or you have a little Mother Mary or angel nightlight or whatever, the basic self really takes comfort in that. It likes those little protective rituals that you do. So it's good to build them in so that you have a basic self that goes to bed at night and feels really, really safe and nurtured. They're the ones that like to sleep with a teddy bear. And believe it or not, when we did a three selves class, a basic self class, when I used to teach in the Peace Theological Seminary, We asked the people in the class to bring their favorite stuffed toy. And we had a lot of men, big manly men in that class. And would you believe it? Everybody came to the next class with a really well-loved and well-worn stuffed toy. So we all, have those little things that we like as a basic self. Many of us have these little dolls or things that we like to, or teddy bears, that the inner child likes to have, which represents to itself love and safety. So when you find you're not quite in your body, and there's some days I don't come into my body at all. If there's, like, for example, with the Haitian quake, I was out of body for about 2 weeks and even had feedback that, where'd I gone? It's like I disappeared from the planet. Well, I hadn't disappeared from the planet, but I wasn't very present in the conscious self levels that I normally write from and interact with people from. So they felt that. But I've learned to just park my basic self in front of the TV or in front of a really good DVD or good whatever to keep it, focused and content. And I continue doing my out-of-body work. But generally by the time you've had your morning tea or your coffee and you've had a little breakfast, usually you'll notice that you start feeling better and you're coming back into yourself. And, of course, you can also call yourself forward and integrate yourself verbally and consciously if you have to go to work, for example. So these are things that will help you to feel better and to understand why you have such an unaccountable for mood sometimes that you wake up with. Basic selves, I remember when I was very, very young, I would send my spirit to work in the concentration camps in Germany and in Russia and in the different lands. And my body was like 5 years old, and I'd wake up and I'd start crying. I'd feel so depressed because I'd have this horrible sense of something dreadful happening, but I had no way of integrating that knowledge in my physical self. So these are all where the basic self is receiving the energetic that you're bringing back to it as you come back into your body. But being a little child, it has no way to process what it's seeing or to sort out what it's feeling. So that's why you have to take more of a conscious direction over your feelings, over that innocent childlike part of you, and educate it. Help it to understand that you're a team that is here to serve God, and encourage yourself in that way. Now, it's the basic self that supplies your physical flows of energy. And the way it works is that the basic self gains direction from the high self. The high self then floods the basic self with energy, and the energy of the basic self then floods the conscious physical self. So it's basic self to high self to conscious self to the physical body. So that's why it's so important that all parts of you are acknowledged, understood, and integrated so that you can walk in the mastery that I know all of you yearn to walk in. The basic self, again, is that part that keeps your body alive and functioning. And one of the characteristics of the basic self is its tenacious survival instinct. Boy, if you've ever come close to drowning like I have, or close to death, you really feel that tenacious survival instinct kick into gear. And it's tremendous. It's that adrenaline rush that just, you can lift that car, you can do superhuman things when you need to, and that's from the basic self. It is what keeps your body at the ready for the directives of the high self and you as a conscious self. So this is how you get your basic self. Let's say you are a spirit on the inner planes, and you have decided that you're going to take incarnation. You will meet at that point with your masters, your angels, your inner upline, your inner plane upline, and the karmic board. And you will sit down and you will decide what kind of an incarnation you want. What are some of the areas you need to perfect, that you need to master, that you need to deal with? What is the unfinished karmic business that you need to resolve? What's going down here? And as I said before, you'll have a choice of two or three different sets of parents, several different possible life partners and spouses. You'll have check off A, B, C, or D, multiple choice. And then you go to the place of the basic selves, the repository of basic selves, which are located in Davidic realms that are on all the levels. Primarily, I would say, probably the land of the 21st order, the kingdom of Pan, the different areas where devas and elemental spirits congregate and are have their domain. But we also have repositories of basic selves aboard our Ashtar Command motherships. So some of you who have come from the command may have gotten your basic self from another planet or have been connected with your basic self on board our ships, which is, many of us do that because we come from other planets, so we like a basic self that is extraterrestrial also for whatever reason. So that's possible too. It's possible that both of you and your basic, this is the first time you've ever been on Earth and the whole thing, you're clueless. So don't bother with it. Don't worry, don't sweat the small stuff. Just hang with what's present for you and work it as best you can. Hopefully in these shows we'll get around to addressing everything that could possibly be of concern to you in your mission, because that's what this show is all about. So before your body is conceived, you sit down and decide all the details. And then when that act of conception takes place, you're very vigilant when that is. That'll decide the parents you gravitate to. And at that moment of conception, the basic self puts its energy commitment into that egg, the ovum, and the sperm that have conceived. It puts its energy imprint into that at that second of conception. And then it's like the general contractor for a whole team of other elemental spirits called the builders of form that gather around like a large group of angels, little Davic angels, that come in to help construct that physical body. And they'll pattern it off of the DNA, RNA, genetics of your family, the karmic imprinting that has been carried in the cellular memory from your previous births, the etheric membrane that is like the blueprint that you, again, have built over many, many embodiments. And then finally, the unfinished business or the karmic limitations that sort of define your major area of lesson for this particular lifetime. So all of that plays a part in your body and how it turns out and ultimately how functional it is in the purpose that you as a soul have outlined that you want to undertake. Does that make sense? I think so. So that's how you get your basic self. Now, your basic self is always under supervision. You, as a member of the light team, are always under supervision. We need to get used to the fact that you're never alone. There's always a team of silent witnesses, if you will, watching over you, guiding you, protecting you, whispering, and intuiting into your mind divine guidance, divine directives, and cheering you on. They're your own private cheering team, your fan base, so to speak. So after the fetus has been developed, at about 4.5 months, in all this time you as a soul are connected with a ray of light to your basic and to your fetus that you will be inhabiting as your new body, your new vehicle. But at 4.5 months, you as a soul enter into that fetus in a more direct way. And that's during the time of the quickening, when the mother feels the first fetal movements in her womb. And at that point, you have made a definite commitment to enter that body. Now, the only thing that could disrupt that, sometimes there's a miscarriage that occurs. There can be several different factors, but generally it's caused because there's some cellular anomaly that's taking place, something that the soul does not have to go through, and it will withdraw. The basic self and the soul withdraw from the fetus, and then you have what's called a miscarriage. That's heartbreaking when it happens, but generally the next conception is that same soul that will come in again and try again to build a body. And some extraterrestrials that aren't real good at building a human body, they don't really know how to do that, and the basic self may be inexperienced. Sometimes they will try several times before they come in. Like my granddaughter, I miscarried her 3 times before she finally took birth through my daughter. And the reason for that was she's a very high extraterrestrial soul, and she couldn't quite get the body going, so she kept trying and trying and trying, and finally she got born. So there's all sorts of strange things that happen with those of us that are from other planets, other lines of evolution. We've come in as volunteer spirits to help with the ascension and the graduation of this particular life wave, but it may not be our natural, normal physical body or the type of world that we're used to functioning in at all. So for you folks, you don't exactly fall in the norms here. So don't worry about it if you feel a little out of sync with what's going on, because we're just passing through this realm anyway. We're not going to build a castle here. We're just looking at the scenery and doing what we can to be useful and help the indigenous population. So the full commitment of incarnation actually generally, in most cases, takes place with your first intake of breath. Usually that's when the soul enters the body. But you know what? There are people who don't do it that way. Some enter the fetus itself during pregnancy, and the soul's inside during pregnancy. Sometimes it waits for a little while after the birth. And I have a girlfriend who has absolutely no memory before the age of 10, and she actually just stood outside and watched her body for the first 10 years of its growth before she ever actually wedded her consciousness with the body. So I found that very interesting. Again, there's a wide variation. Now, I heard a very strange story that I was actually in the middle of when I was in India. An Italian devotee of Sai Baba, who's actually the wife of one of the heads of Italy, I don't want to mention her name, but an Italian devotee, Sai Baba called her in for an interview, and he said, don't worry, your birth of your baby will be fine, your baby will be fine. Well, it didn't look that way, but she really, really was grateful that he had told her that, because when she went through a very difficult delivery that finally had to be delivered by cesarean, and the baby appeared to be stillborn, she hung on to those words of Sai Baba, who said, don't worry, your baby will be fine. So they thought the baby was dead, so they put it in a separate room and wouldn't let her see it, and wrapped it in a blanket and left the room. And a half hour passed, and she was just, lying there and praying to Baba. All of a sudden, she hears this baby start to cry. And the doctors run in, and they grab the baby, and they bring it to her so she could nurse it. And so later, she asks, Sai Baba, what was that all about? And he said that because it was a cesarean birth, that the astrological timing for that soul wasn't exactly the way it had to be. Because this was one of the Sapta Rishis. What's a Sapta Rishi, you might ask? A Sapta Rishi is one of the seven Chohans, one of the seven lords of the seven major rays, or the seven sages, as they're called. Or in the Bible, they're called the seven candles before the throne of God. These are the great lords, the Chohans, that administer the seven major rays of manifestation that qualify all of manifestation. Now, how awesome is that? One of the Sapta Rishis, seven sages, actually was born. And that little guy had the mark of Vishnu, that kind of elongated U mark on his forehead. He was born with it. And he used to play, and we were sitting in the sand waiting for Sai Baba to come out and give his walk around and give his darshan. This little baby, one of the seven sages, used to play in my lap and, pour sand in my sari and play with me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like being, in heaven. One of the seven sages playing in my lap? Oh my gosh. But to just show you the variations of how unusual some of our incarnations are. Now, there's a lot of information I have to share on this. I may have to do more than one show. But the basic self needs to be trained and constantly monitored and educated, because it's very innocent and it needs to evolve. And the way it evolves is through interacting with you as a conscious self. That's how it is trained and evolves. So it's very important that you stand forth very consciously in directing yourself. By directing yourself, don't go into unconscious, unconscious mode, automatic pilot. got to stay present in the moment with your process, whatever your process is. You keep working it and seek to make it as beautiful and perfect as you possibly can. Your job is to develop healthy habits and appropriate social behavior and emotional control and self-discipline in your basic self, just the same as any good parent would in raising a child. And you clearly communicate with your basic self and set guidelines to establish healthful habits and boundaries. You have to really take yourself in hand and say, this we can do, and this is not an option. And make it very, very clear on every level of your being so that you take charge of this level and don't let a 4-, 5-, or 6-year-old little inner child run your life. That's, you know, people that just have no self-control and no self-restraint at all are in that category. So gotta get a hold of yourself and you know, train those levels. Now, those of you with cable TV, I want to recommend that you start watching the National Geographic Channel. They have an excellent program called The Dog Whisperer with dog psychologist Cesar Millan. And he sets forth the 3 guidelines for working with your dog. And I found that these same guidelines work excellently with basic selves and also with children. Now, the 3 guidelines in order of importance that he sets forth are 1, discipline, 2, exercise, and 3, affection. Now, I know all of us tend to give our dogs and our children and probably our basic selves, too, affection first and maybe not ever any discipline and sporadic exercise. So that's why we have so much problems with our children and with ourselves. So all children and dogs need to know what's expected of them because, above all, they want to please you. And so you, as a conscious self, must become the calm, assertive pack leader. You become the pack leader of your pets at home, and you become the calm, assertive leader as a conscious self for your basic self. Now, the discipline is to set those boundaries and guidelines. Again, we can do this, and this is inappropriate. We will not do that. And to be very clear what they are, and don't keep shifting them, because then children become very, very unhappy when they don't have structure and discipline in their lives. They actually like that discipline. So 2 is exercise. Like a child, a dog, and a basic self, they all require a daily outlet for their physical energy. Now, a bored, unchallenged, undirected, undisciplined child, dog, or basic self will develop psychotic, self-destructive, and antisocial behavior and invariably act out in some manner that's not appropriate if they're not given any other healthy energy outlet. So basic selves need to be put to work. Just like dogs, they need a task, they need a mission, they need a job. And again, it's your job to make sure that your life is in balance and you have exercise outlets and energetic expression and creative outlets. That's part of what you do to keep yourself healthy. Now, for a human being, this is the area of the root cause for most energy blockages. You know, when people say, oh, I feel blocked or whatever. That's when you're not communicating and cooperating together with your basic self. And then it begins self-sabotage kinds of behaviors. And they can be really subtle. So it's like you become an enemy to your own self. So that sure doesn't work. So and also they can cause panic attacks or all sorts of crazy things. You know, it's just all of these different things that people seem to be coping with today. Almost all of them have their root in the misdirection of the basic self. Number three, the third item is affection. So you reward with affection and other signs of approval when the child or dog is in a balanced, calm, submissive state. In other words, don't reward behavior that you don't want to reinforce, whether it's a child or a dog. And haven't you ever kind of like said to yourself, boy, girl, or boy, guy, you really did a good job. You know, you did good, kid. Boy, we really nailed it. We really rocked on that. Haven't you done that? Well, that's when you talk out loud, you're basically, no pun intended, talking to your basic self. So it's good to acknowledge when a good job is well done, and your basic self will feel happy too. So the basic elemental is a Vedic life form that has evolved from the kingdoms of nature and often carry over similar characteristics to their earlier origins, whether it's from the flower kingdom or the fairy kingdom or whether they have been the basic self of one of your pets, because the same elemental basic selves that operate through some domesticated pets, sometimes then in their next incarnation, will work with a human being, like, for example, Sai Baba's elephant that passed away, Sai Gita. She is now a female, or at least the basic self, of a female devotee of, I guess, Sai Baba, because she came right back. So that's the way that works, as strange as it may seem to some of us. So everything is always progressing and moving, and is energy and consciousness taking ever newer different forms of manifested beingness. Now, those basic selves that are very, very new to this level may have a very difficult time sorting themselves out and organizing their body. I have a girlfriend that is she just barely can put two feet in front of each other. She is such a new spirit in the human level, and her basic self is completely clueless of how to do almost anything. She can sing in the star language, which is very beautiful, but that's about it. The rest is just really, really hard for her and really challenging. And I really could understand why she was having those challenges, because she was just very inexperienced in being in a human, limited, third-dimensional, solid body. She's used to being a light form that moves, you know, through solid matter and all of that. So generally really advanced souls don't select an inexperienced basic self, but most of us prefer those that are so advanced and mature that they're more like angels and have their own levels of wisdom. And I'm really fortunate to have such a basic self myself. And she always cooperates with all that I want and ask her to do, and is extremely aware and self-disciplined, which has been a real blessing for me. But still, I had to learn how to communicate with her effectively and build her self-confidence. And I also had to learn how to take better care of her and not to allow her to overextend herself to the detriment of our physical health. I used to just, you know, demand too much of her, push her too much, and it wrecked my health, really. So I had to learn not to be so heavy-handed with my basic self. Okay, here are some guidelines and suggestions for developing a good, healthy, working relationship with your basic self. Number one, remember that the basic self hears every word you say and immediately starts to place energy in that directive. For example, let's say you make a New Year's resolution to lose weight. You plan your diet, you select your program, you join a gym, you buy special low-cal foods, and then you as a conscious self, at some point you go out and buy a chocolate cake and you sit down and eat the whole thing. Now, you consciously did it, of course. Your basic self would, of course, rather eat chocolate cake than lettuce. But because you didn't follow through on your directive to your basic, your poor basic self is now confused as to what it is supposed to do. It's going to keep putting energy into your losing weight until you say, you know what, we're not going to lose weight, forget it. You know, we're not going to do a diet, just forget it. It's going to keep putting energy there. So if you feel tired and drained, you've got to look at the areas where you have said you're going to do something and then you backed out, but your basic self is still out there energetically trying to fulfill your wishes. Your basic is like that big genie in the, you know, the secret. Your wish is my command. Your basic self thinks that you, as a conscious self, are God Almighty, and it takes every word that you say as the gospel truth that it has to fulfill. So watch what you say. You know, so let's say you ate the chocolate cake, okay? Then you start to feel guilty, and you begin to berate yourself, maybe blaming yourself for being so weak-willed or stupid or self-indulgent, or maybe you complain that you can just never do anything right. You know, the routine. Yeah, every one of us has done this in some form or another, haven't we? Everybody, we all do this. So your basic self then learns two things. Number one, it's a failure. Number two, you don't love it. Number three, it can't please you. Number four, you don't keep your word and therefore can't trust you. And there it is, a little kid with no conscious direction, no boundaries, no guidelines, and it's just really unhappy. So you have guilt and remorse and blame and judgment and depression and anger and frustration. All of these things start to build up and form emotional and physical blockages, which if they're not released and healed and dealt with, eventually can even cause diseases. So there you have it. That's what causes those feelings where you want to do something, but you don't have the energy or the inner support to follow through. So, you as a conscious self absolutely must make a conscious decision to train yourself to be your own best friend and to make it no longer an option to blame, criticize, castigate, or badmouth yourself. Every time you badmouth yourself, you put another block in that wall that creates a barrier between you and the very one that you must depend upon to physically support and manifest your mission. So, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But make that as a guideline. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You know, if it isn't positive, zip it. That's about yourself or anyone else. Now, a basic self needs your approval and positive reinforcement. And above all, it needs to respect and trust you to keep your word and to complete what you say you are going to do. You know, keep your promises, but I think it's much better if you do not make New Year's resolutions and don't make vows. Don't take vows lightly. You know, in the Bible it says, don't take vows. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I think it's because it just creates so much of a problem. Say, for example, you've been a renunciate in your most recent lifetime, and you've taken vows for chastity and poverty and obedience. And then you get born as a husband or a wife or whatever your life pattern unfolds, and you find that you can't, you know, you're a priest inside and your body is still trying to act out the priestly vows, and here you are in a marriage and you have a big problem. So it's good to release yourselves from any vows and promises you may have taken. Maybe you want to do that after the show tonight. Just rescind those vows that you've taken and start a new life today. From now on, this is who I am, and this is what I'm about. I'm not a priest. I'm not a nun. I don't have to be poor and celibate and, what's the other one, obedient to Holy Mother Church or whatever organization. You know, it's a new life. It's a new age. It's a new mission. So set yourself free and keep yourself free and learn to live in the moment and make the wisest choices you can given your available options. If you hang out with me, you'll notice very often I'll say things like, I'm not going to do that unless, of course, I do. I always give myself some wiggle room so that I don't paint myself into a corner where I don't have any free option to make another choice if I'm guided to do that. So keep yourself free. For example, you can be committed to your next breath, your next action, and your choice in the next moment. That's where your commitment goes, so that you learn to flow with the Spirit and make choices governed by the guidance of the Holy Spirit instead of the vows that you've set up, that it must be this way. Maybe it's not supposed to be that way at all. So give yourself a break. For example, say you're at a party. You can select healthful food items to eat, and eat consciously and not overindulge. And since there's no benefit whatsoever in drinking hard liquor, let's say that you've made the very wise decision that drinking liquor is not an available option. So that takes it completely out of the choice and the problem area. And so your basic self knows by the boundaries you've already set in place what is expected. And so you enjoy the party, you cooperate, and all goes very well. You don't have a hangover. You don't feel sick to your stomach because you've eaten within your boundaries, within your guidelines. And you have a good feeling about yourself and a sense of being in control of your life. And you both go to bed feeling great. So this is how you operate in your life. I just used a very common example, but you can do this at any point. Make selective, excellent choices to the best of your ability with each, whatever it is you're involved with. Now, this is how you develop self-trust, self-esteem, and self-confidence. Another important area is to know your basic self's physical limitations and not put it in a position that is abusive or harmful. If you know that your energy drops out around 4 o'clock every afternoon, don't schedule an appointment at that hour. If you know you're not in physical shape, don't sign up to do the marathon. You know what I mean? Use your common sense and take care of your basic self so you don't put it in a position where it feels like it's failed you. When you get older, don't expect your body to do the same thing it did when you were 20. And give yourself a break. And keep your life in balance. By forming a healthy lifestyle, make sure you have order and rhythm and harmony and beauty and a positive daily routine that you stick to. This is how you master yourself and also gain the energy to put into the things you really want to manifest so you're not just spread out all over the place. Next, make certain your basic self has outlets to play and have fun, to engage in innocent activities a child would like. You know, that favorite TV show, or going to Disney World or Disneyland, or that game, or playing sports, whatever it is. Let yourself enjoy innocent, fun things that the basic maybe wants to do. And for a special treat every once in a while, you know, have an ice cream cone or a piece of chocolate cake or whatever as a rare but special treat. And that can be a wonderful way to bond with your inner child if you create a proper context for that to happen. Like, for example, you've been really good on the diet for 7 days. Maybe you want to take every eighth day or whatever, or every seventh day a day in which you just eat whatever you want to eat, you know, or have the cake or whatever. I find it's good to eat a little bit of everything and never make certain things off limit. I mean, then, you know, the minute you say you can't do something, that's the very thing you want to do, right? So, again, orchestrate your successes and don't set yourself up for failure. Now, I'll tell you a sweet thing that happened to me. I think it was last Easter, my family-in-law, we all went out to eat a special Easter brunch after church. And I, my basic self, wanted to smell a horse. That may sound crazy, but I love the smell of horse manure and hay and just that hot, horsey smell. And I was longing for it. And so we were having brunch, and later we went out to get in the car, and I looked right across the parking lot. They had a pony ride, of all things. They had these ponies and horses. And I ran over and told the man, I said, I am just longing to be close to a horse and to pet and smell a horse. Would it be all right if I just kind of hugged your horse for a while? He laughed. He said, of course. So I just put my arms around that horse's neck, and I buried my nose in its mane and just, you know, inhaled it for all I was worth and rubbed my hands all over his coat so later I could smell my hands, and they smelled nice and horsey. But that, you know, that was my basic self, just really enjoying being with a horse. So always you as a conscious self are the one who chooses and directs the flow of your life. That's your job, to be the conscious director. And, of course, you are governed by the Lord, the High Self, the Holy Spirit that indwells you. That is your higher directive. But you as a conscious self have to make the decisions. You're the decider of the action. So when you do your job, your basic self can cooperate with you by fulfilling and completing the directives and actions that you initiate. And the reward you have is success, abundance, personal satisfaction, and a sense of fulfillment. And your basic self is the one that draws abundance and money into your life. So your basic self likes to be rewarded with money for a job well done. So that's that part of you that really doesn't feel good about doing something unless you get something in return. That's your basic. That's your inner child. The basic self is the one that wants to be noticed and acknowledged. So it is entirely self-focused. It's all about me, like most children. You know, it's all about me. I'm the center of my life. That's your basic self. And like all children, it's not selfless. That selfless part of you is your high self. Your basic self is very me and mine oriented, like most children. Now, self-sabotage you really have to watch out for, because as a result of an insecure or fearful basic self that has been shut down and blocked in with judgment, criticism, and constant abuse, they would rather not risk failure. So they will actually set up and orchestrate conditions where they get injured or sick or have to go to the hospital or have to go to surgeries or anything where they don't have to be in a position where they might fail. For example, a basic self will even sometimes injure themselves. My basic self used to do that. It would sprain its ankle or do stuff like that when I was a teenager in the circus. And why? Because I was scared to death. I was going to fail. Somebody was going to yell at me and criticize me because I had failed. So I would just sprain my ankle and then I wouldn't have to, you know, perform. So this was a basic self habit pattern that came out of my own fear as a child, being forced to perform at a level that I wasn't really equipped and prepared to do. So that's another thing the basic self can do. And they can even create accidents and set up all kinds of situations which actually orchestrate and set you up for failure. For example, those who are habitually late for work so that you end up getting fired. This is a basic self-sabotage pattern. So, again, you have to take charge of the basic self and make sure it gets enough sleep and that it gets up with discipline at the proper time and that it gets to work at the proper time. Of course, you're the one that drives the car and gets up out of bed. So, again, you have to be the conscious pack leader and director of your life. Now, how to clear your basic self is to observe your self-judgments and critical thoughts and words and stop them. Stop the minute you find yourself passing a judgment and say immediately, I forgive myself for judging myself for whatever, being late, eating the chocolate cake, whatever, and I release this judgment into the loving of the Christ and just see it dissolve into innocent, beautiful, loving energy. Very simple, but if you muscle test yourself before and after a judgment, you'll see that after you've forgiven yourself verbally, the energy clears. So, anyway, it's a good thing. The price of freedom, beloveds, is eternal vigilance. And it takes your commitment to yourself to master all of these areas of your life. But, you know, that's what it takes if you want to be a master. If you want to really come out of the closet and be the Christ that you are, that's the gig. That's what you got to do. And so you constantly keep defining and refining and moving to your next level of excellence. And I always tell my basic self, you're going to wear a diamond crown and a purple robe and have jeweled sandals, or maybe even become a junior cadet in the Starfleet Academy with your own little silver space suit. And that's what you're going to have in the completion of this grand mission. So praise your basic self and look into your eyes in the mirror, and at least every so often, look into your own eyes and tell yourself that you love you and you bless you. You know, I love you. God bless you. And you're doing a great job. And you're so beautiful. And I so appreciate you. And just watch and see how much better you feel about yourself. So, to all of you precious basic selves, we blow kisses to you. And we thank you for doing such great jobs in serving your Earth mission. We love you so much. So, let's go out chanting. Let's see what we chant tonight. Well, let's just do Anihu, which is a chant of such love. It's basically saying, you and I are one, and love is. Deep breath. And I you. And all of you basic selves, conscious selves, high selves, souls, and divine I Am presences, we of the Ashtar Galactic Command love you so much. You're doing such a great job. God bless you. Keep putting one foot after another. Keep breathing in and out. Don't sweat the small stuff. And before you know it, we're going to be home free. God bless you, and God willing, I will be with you this time next Wednesday. Adonai.